Hello and welcome to Milaha. Please note that this call is being recorded. You will have the opportunity to ask questions to our speakers later on during the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question by that time, simply press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I'd like to hand the call over to our moderator, Bobby. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Gail. Hi. Hello, everyone. This is Bobby Sarkar, Head of Research at QNB Financial Services. I wanted to welcome everyone to Qatar Navigation Milaha's second quarter and first half 2025 results conference call. So on this call, we have Akram Iswaisi, who is the EVP of Finance and Investments, and we have Sami Shetaya, who is the VP of Financial Planning and Analysis. So we will conduct this conference with first management reviewing the company's results, followed by a Q&A session. I would now like to turn the call over now to Akram. Akram, please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Thank you, everyone, for joining Milaha's first half of 2025 earnings call and your interest in the company. Similar to prior calls, I will start by going over our consolidated financial results, then move on to our various individual business segments, and finally turn it over to Sami to go over the outlook for the rest of the year. As usual, we will end the call with Q&A. The key highlights of our financial results: Milaha's operating revenues came in at 1.59 billion for the 6 months ended June 30th, 1.6 rounded, for the June 30th, 2025, compared with 1.4 billion for the same period in 2024, for an increase of 11%. Operating profit came in at 354 million for the 6 months ended June 30th, 2025, compared with 316 for the same period last year, for an increase of 12%. And net profit for the 6 months ended June 30th, 2025 was 672 million, compared with 628 million for the same period last year, or an increase of 7%. And lastly, our earnings per share was 0.59 for the 6 months ended June 30th, 25, compared with 0.55 for the same period last year. Now, moving on to the segments, maritime and logistics. Operating revenues for maritime and logistics increased by 60 billion, going from 394 in 2024 to 454 million in 2025, led by our container shipping unit, which was mainly the result of high freight rates or increased freight rates from the China service that began in earnest in the second half of 2024. Operating expenses increased by 37 million, broken out as follows: 24 million of the increase being variable in nature and tied to the revenue growth, 22 million of the increase coming from right of use accounting for two chartered in container vessels that joined our fleet in Q4 24, 8 million increase in salaries and wages due to increased crewing costs in our offshore segment, and lastly, we had an increase of 17 million. In fleet and technical costs transferred to our offshore segment due to additional expenses related to new vessel additions. Non-operating income increased by 30 million with better performance from Q terminals joint arrangement, more than offsetting lower gains on the sale of assets that were recorded in 24. And that brings us to an overall bottom line increase of 54 million versus increase of 54 million versus last year. In offshore, our operating revenue grew by 159 million or 22% versus last year. Increased project work and the addition of three new vessels from the second half of 24 up to the first half of 2025 drove the growth. Overall expenses increased by 132 million with 85 million of operating supplies and expenses being directly variable in nature and tied to the revenue growth. There's also a 14 million increase in salaries and wages, in addition to 11 million increase in depreciation and 17 million increase in vessel technical expenses, both related to fleet additions. At the non-operating level, there was an 11 million increase in tax expense tied to essentially the recently enacted global minimum tax, which was implemented in Qatar this year. The net income result was year-over-year growth of 60 million or 14%. In gas and petchem, operating revenue increased by 37 million, going from 122 million in 24 to 159 million in 2025 for an increase of 30%. 32 million of that increase is related to us taking full ownership of two VLGCs that were previously part of the Gulf LPG joint venture that we had with Nakilat. For your information, we had a 50% stake in that JV with Nakilat, having the other 50%. The JV consisted of four VLGC vessels, and the financial results of that JV were recorded below the line as part of the share of results of joint arrangements. Now that we've taken full ownership of the two vessels, we started recording the results line by line, essentially above the line in operating revenues and expenses. Operating expenses increased by 26 million, with 11 million of that increase coming from higher depreciation expense related to the change in useful life of our wholly owned LNG vessels that occurred in Q4 2024, and most of the remaining balance related to the OPEX from the two VLGCs we just spoke about. Non-operating profit decreased by 3 million, with better results from associates being offset by 14 million in higher tax. Net profit for the segment came in at 367 million versus 359 in 2024, for an increase of 2%. And now moving on to trading and capital, starting with trading. Trading segment recorded a slight decrease in revenue, going from 102 million in 24 to 97 million in 25. Cost of goods sold similarly decreased, with the end result being a flat bottom line with last year. And then moving on to capital, revenue slid by 17% or 41 million versus the first half of 24, with a 60 million drop coming from lower Qatar Quarry sales and a 26 million drop coming from our investment unit. 34 million of the investment drop had to do with lower dividend income from our local Qatari equities, as explained in Q1 2024 was the first year some Qatari companies started issuing semi-annual dividend distributions. This happened later in 24, so in effect, last year there was a full year dividend paid out in the first half of the year, but in the first half of 2025, there was only the semi-annual dividend payout. The lower dividends were partially offset by higher returns from the rest of our investment portfolio. On the cost side, total expenses came down by 19 million, with 7 million related to the successful recovery of outstanding receivables that were previously provisioned for, and the balance mainly related to Qatar Quarry's cost of goods sold. There was an 11 million decrease in non-operating income, and all in all, capital reported a net profit decrease of 34 million compared to 24. And that wraps up the segments, and I will now turn it over to Sami to discuss the outlook for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Akram. Starting with maritime and logistics, on the container shipping side, there remains industry-wide uncertainty over shipping rates given the political and economic trade and tariff issues. In logistics, the environment remains very competitive and challenging, but we're optimistic that new product and service offerings such as pharma warehousing and turnaround efforts will improve results. In offshore, on the support vessels and services side, we expect to see continued growth, particularly longer term, with all the expansion work in Qatar's oil and gas industry. For the harbor and industrial logistics operations, we expect stable revenue given the long-term nature of most contracts. In gas and petchem, overall, we expect limited volatility due to long-term nature of contracts we have in most business units. And on the VLGC side, rates remain currently healthy and longer term look stable. In trading, we'll be focused on optimizing the segment and continuing our focus on profitable growth and margin improvement. And lastly, capital, where we will continue to focus on yield enhancement. And with that, now, operator, we'll open up for questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone that in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Okay, so your first question comes from the line of Rob Skepper with Ashmore. Please go ahead.
Hi, Akram. Hi, Sami. Thanks for the call today. Much appreciated. Yeah, I guess kind of going through in presentation order. So, yeah, I guess starting with maritime and logistics. Another good quarter there, driven by container shipping. I note the comments you just made in the outlook about uncertainty on rates, given the kind of various disruption going on. In terms of what you're seeing kind of currently in the third quarter, when you look at your routes and look at your rates, is there kind of any negative trends starting to emerge at this time?
Thank you very much for the question. Honestly, we are cautiously optimistic. I think the Red Sea situation will persist. That will also continue to put pressure on supply chains. So I think that will continue. You've seen our announcements. We continue to grow into new markets and continue to expand our network. And so, to be frank with you, we're quite optimistic. We're cautiously optimistic. But again, container shipping is a spot business and there's a lot of volatility. But as it stands right now, we're quite optimistic for the rest of the year. But again, it's a spot business, so there are so many variables that impact specifically that business because it's not long-term contracted business.
Yeah, sure. Okay, got it. Great. Just jumping to offshore and marine. So, yeah, again, obviously that first quarter we started to see the impact of a couple of new OSVs. Now we look at kind of second quarter, good momentum there. Vessel chartering sequentially higher. Also, kind of project income and the services revenue also increasing. Just as we look into the second half in terms of fleet addition driving vessel chartering revenues, and looking at that kind of services revenue, like is there still continued sequential growth expected throughout the year, or is this kind of second quarter the kind of new run rate we should be expecting?
We have a pipeline of projects that we have bid on, and there's a pipeline of projects that we will continue to bid on. And so, as of right now, we've announced, the three vessels that we've acquired last year. And then you're going to see, the impact of those vessels, for the full year. And there will be potentially additional vessels that we may acquire, over the next couple of years. But impact, again, depending on when those vessels are acquired and when they're deployed, and we're also constrained by the availability of vessels in the market. So our options are to either build or go acquire secondhand. And so, we are quite optimistic on this segment, and I think, we'll continue to see positive growth momentum specifically in this segment because the demand is there. Okay. It's not a function of whether the demand is there or not. It's a function of how quickly we can, acquire or provide vessels to deploy them.
Yeah, got it. Okay, great. I just wanted to ask around the Gulf LPG JV with Nakilat. Forgot to ask yesterday, but in terms of that, in terms of you kind of unwinding that JV and taking kind of half the vessels each, when did that transaction close? Like when did that? Just the second quarter.
It happened in the end of Q1. We took over the vessels. They took up the vessels in Q2. So essentially, we took over the vessels, and now we'll operate those vessels 100%. But effectively, we are looking to exit that specific segment and continue to focus on areas where we can build scale. And part of our strategy as an organization, and you'll see more and more, potential exits of certain subscale businesses where we are not a leader and where we want to focus on areas where we can become a leader and be able to build scale. And exiting the Gulf LPG, JV is an example of that. And so over time, there are certain segments that we will be looking to exit. We want to, again, for the Gulf LPG, that was sort of the starting point with us, is just take over the vessel, just see what we're going to do with them. if there's an ability to grow the business or essentially go ahead and sell the vessels in the market and continue to focus on the businesses where we can build scale.
Okay, got it. But in terms of the earnings power, the second quarter there kind of represents the new structure because, as you say, it happens towards the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, but if you look at what has happened is before we were recording, you know, because it was a JV, so we were recording 50% of the net profit below the line. So essentially, there's not going to be really a material impact unless, again, the only variable there is the rates in the market, right? So, yep. You know, so we're booking net income before, but below the line. We're still booking the net income. The only difference, we're booking the revenue and the expense and the net income. But where this changes is essentially how we deploy the vessels to generate additional profits. So it depends on market rates today.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only variable there that will help us create additional value.
Yeah. And if you did, I mean, if you generated capital from, so for example, if you sold those two vessels, in terms of the proceeds of an exit like that, like would you kind of just put that into the book in the capital segment? Would you like special divvy it out? Like, would it go?
We would continue to invest in our core business. And again, as I mentioned, our focus right now from a strategy perspective is to focus on the segments where we continue to build scale. Offshore, there's tremendous growth potential there. So that segment will continue to grow. If you look at maritime and logistics, there are certain segments within maritime and logistics container shipping, we will continue to grow that. It's doing quite well, and it's going to continue to perform according to the plan we put in place. If you look at logistics, it's beginning to turn around. You've seen the announcement in the market that we signed a 5-year agreement with Qatar Airways. And so that business has a new strategy, and there's a very, very strong push to turn that business around and eventually grow that logistics business. If you look at M&L, part of the area that we're focused on, and you've seen again the announcement that we've made on our strategic partnership with Fincantieri, is to continue to provide, to be a service provider, a marine service provider to the military sector here in Qatar. And so that's a very strong growth area for us. So there's specific areas where we think we can build scale and generate attractive returns that will help us in the long run increase shareholder value.
Yeah, got it. Great. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I'm sorry for that. So your next question comes from the line of Karuna Kumarage from SICO. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. And thank you very much for this opportunity. I have two questions. Firstly, related to the offshore segment. Following up from the previous caller, so basically when it comes to the second quarter numbers in terms of vessel chartering as well as services, the revenues have substantially increased. So if I am to back off the first quarter numbers, your vessel chartering revenue was 259 million this quarter, and services 156 million. So I just want to understand whether this represents the run rate going forward, or can it increase further when more vessels come into play? That's my first question.
Listen, it's a good baseline for run rate, but we, as I've mentioned on that last question, the previous gentleman, is that we're on a very strong growth trajectory. The demand is there, and for us, the demand is there, the growth potential is there. It's just a function of how quickly can we provide vessels and deploy them. So it's a good run rate as a baseline, but we're quite optimistic based on the demand in Qatar primarily that we could potentially exceed that run rate. But again, The only constraint is how quickly we can find vessels, how quickly we can build vessels and deploy them. But the demand does exist in Qatar.
Okay. So you mentioned that you added three vessels, right? Last year, towards the end of the year. So are all these three vessels are in operation right now? Were they, fully contributing in second quarter?
Yes, they're contracted. That's why
they're
compared to last year. Yes.
Okay.
We acquired in the second half of the year, so they're not going to be idle the first half of the year. The only time that the vessel will be idle or not working is if it's in maintenance or there's some, unexpected maintenance or scheduled maintenance or some sort of an accident. But we acquired in the second half of the year to be able to deploy them. As I mentioned, we're not short of work. We're just short of vessels. So as vessels come in, do work.
Okay, and my second question is on the tax rate. Now, I guess you had some catch-up provisions done in second quarter. So I want to know, if I look at the effective rate, if I work out the effective tax rate, it comes to about 5%. Is this, the rate that we should take going forward for the full year?
Well, it's not a rate you should take going forward because this is the first year of implementation of global minimum tax, right? So this is an adjustment period, but this is our estimate. I mean, we book tax provisions based on a complex model. But again, this is the first year in terms of implementation of global minimum tax in Qatar. So I would caution you about just using this year as a baseline because it will change next year. But I think this is a good proxy for the rest of the year.
But are you getting any kind of exemptions, any segments that you're getting exemptions for this global minimum tax?
Again, there are no exemptions. We have to follow the rule of the law. I mean, the tax code is clear. And again, the implementation is happening in Qatar this year, similar to the region where implementation is happening, and then exemptions, special programs come up as let's say the level of sophistication evolves. And so, if you go back to the tax code, there are certain exemptions. I mean, if you have a tonnage tax regime, then you pay a certain tax rate on the tonnage, not the income. And so, again, this is sort of how it works. It's difficult for me to sit here and explain it to you on a call. The reality is, this is an evolving thing this year.
Right. Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much, and wish you all the best.
Your next question comes from the line of Abhinav Sinha with Asia Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. One question on your offshore segment, related to NFE, what is the kind of traction that, you are looking at, if any, at this point?
What does that mean? What do you mean by traction?
In terms of the execution and how, would you like to share some guidance for next year?
Unfortunately, we can't share guidance for next year. Now we're sharing guidance for the rest of the year. And so the information is out there on NFE and the plans for Qatar, so you can look them up. But you can see from our results, we are involved in NFE projects. And as we've mentioned, if you look at offshore, we've had, for example, about 11 million of income from new fiber link project. So we are doing projects for NFE, so they're different types of projects. But NFE is a big project, and we are, benefiting from NFE. And if you look at that, as I mentioned, a lot of these vessels we're acquiring, some of them are being deployed in the NFE project. So it's difficult for me to give you some sort of guidance. But as I've mentioned earlier, based on what you're seeing right now as a run rate, use that as a baseline. And as the year evolves, you'll see us potentially acquiring more vessels. That will change your run rate. But again, I think it's the demand is there, just a function of how quickly we can acquire vessels and then deploy them.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Suradi Musa with QIC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, gentlemen, for the call. This is Bijoy here. I have a question on the offshore segment. If I look at your margins have been not improving. It's actually slightly down than when compared to last year. So what's your view on the margin side? How do you see these contracts getting priced? Is it the focus on volume, or can we expect margin improvement in the coming quarters?
And you're talking about what? You're talking about net profit margin, because operating profit margins are in line with last year, right?
Yes. Almost in line, yes.
Well, they are in line. I mean, so if you look at net profit margin, it decreased primarily because of taxes. And so, and as I mentioned earlier, if you look at sort of our growth momentum, a lot of what we've done, two things. What we've done is, one, you know, we're winning new contracts, so we're creating new revenue streams. But these new net cash flow, new revenue streams, are at today's market rates, right? But also, you know, at today's CapEx rates. Two, we are, as contracts come to an end, like, you know, legacy contracts, we are renegotiating those contracts at more attractive rates, higher than they used to. So these essentially renegotiations will mean that these contracts will have additional net income contribution, and therefore will help contribute to the bottom line. But I think if you look at even our peers today, you know, our margins are actually healthier than our peers. We do benchmarking of a lot of different companies in the same space we were in, and our margins are actually very healthy compared to theirs. I think if you look at it, it's very much in line with last year. And as I mentioned, for us, it's just a question of how quickly we can get new vessels so we can deploy them on contracts.
Understood. So the assets held for sale is part of the strategy wherein you can use that capital to buy other vessels and deploy here?
What do you mean assets held for sale? You're talking about the investment portfolio?
There's one line item under your balance sheet, which is assets held for sale, which is basically,
no,
I think...
That has nothing to do. Assets held for sale, these are assets that we're selling. All right, so
mm-hmm.
If we're selling assets, you know, whatever proceeds we will receive from the sale, we will deploy them wherever we have, you know, growth opportunities. So again, we're looking at profitable growth. So we will deploy them where we generate the highest return. So that's it. I mean, I can use my balance sheet, and I hardly have any debt. I can borrow to fund these assets. I can sell non-performing assets. If my strategy changes, then I will exit certain segments, sell the assets, use the cash to fund new opportunities that are profitable. Again, we're chasing profitable growth. So I have a toolbox with a lot of options.
Understood. So, as you mentioned before, you said that there will be new, like when the contracts get expired, we will be renegotiating them on a better price, better rate. So, do you expect any
market has changed? So that's what
yes.
you do.
Yes. Do you expect any contracts getting expired in the next few quarters or next year?
I mean, we always have contracts expire, right? Because if you look at our portfolio, it's a portfolio of contracts with different maturities. So there are always going to be contracts that will mature. And as they mature, we will negotiate. You know, we have an excellent relationship with our customers. We will negotiate them based on today's rates. And so that happens every year, essentially. And there's always a contract expiring, right? I mean, we have in total, about 60 to 65 vessels in total, and we continue to grow that fleet. So there's always going to be, you know, you've got about 20 roughly long-term contracts. The rest of them, you know, again, we have long-term contracts as well, but there's always a percentage that are short-term in nature. And as those contracts mature, we'll deploy them at market rate.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Next question is from Divya Shah with Decimal Point Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my question was on tax, but that got already answered. So there was a change in the tax rate. So yeah, that has been taken up already. So yeah.
Okay.
Next question will come from the line of Ahmed Ashaki with SICO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
You're audible. Hi, Ahmed. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I have a couple of questions related to the offshore segment. My first question is related to the services. So does the new, I think the left, two new leftboat vessels fall under the services and offshore? So I see a huge improvement in the percentage, in terms of percentage, the growth in services is high. So is the CapEx deployed in offshore related to the services? This is one thing. And do you have a target for the number of offshore fleets in the next couple of years? Do you just, you're planning to expand or deploy CapEx based on the projects you you win or the based on the bids? And my third question is related to the offshore contract. So typically, in terms of duration, how long are the duration of these contracts? So let's say the two new vessels that were deployed, which have been recently deployed in 2025, how long were the durations of these contracts?
Okay. To start off, if you look at services, it's chartering services, so that's where we charter the vessels. So the assets, this new CapEx, is mainly in the chartering services, right? So that's where it is. In terms of a target for a number of vessels, I think we, if you recall our previous call, we've mentioned that we're looking at maybe close to 1.3 billion reals worth of CapEx to be spent on offshore, and that could potentially be exceeded depending on the nature of the contracts. And so our goal is to build or construct a portfolio of assets with contracts that have mixed duration. We're hoping for longer, the longer the better, and then long, midterm, and short term. And this is how we're running the business today. So we're managing this as a portfolio where we're able to lock in long-term cash flows, but we're also able to, get the upside for the changes in the market today. If all of my contracts are locked in on long-term contracts, if my vessels are contract and long-term contracts, I will not be able to get the upside of what's happening in the market. So that's how we basically constructed the portfolio, and that has served us well. Was there any, did I answer the questions?
Just to follow up on the CapEx related to the offshore. So 1.3 billion, you mean in 2025 or in, between 2025 and 2027?
It's going to happen over the next couple of years. I mean, again, this is sort of what we've agreed internally and we said we commit to. And it's going to happen again, as I mentioned multiple times. It really depends on how quickly we can build vessels or how quickly we can find secondhand vessels, right?
Okay. And in terms of previously contracted offshore vessels, are they being renegotiated on the current offshore rates?
Listen, we have strong relationships with the oil majors in Qatar. And so, as contracts are renewed, we go back and we, in good faith, work with our customers to have a win-win situation, right? So our approach is not simply to go in there and squeeze the customer as much as possible. It has to be a win-win. This is a long-term relationship where we work with our clients to provide them with solutions and ensure that, it's a win-win for both of us. But clearly, from a common sense and a commercial perspective, rates have changed significantly if you compare it to 3, 5, 6, 7 years ago, right? So rates are much, much higher because it's a function of the supply-demand imbalance in the market today. So clearly, anyone with commercial sense would expect that there should be an uplift in rates, which, you know, could help potentially improve the margins.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you very much, Tom. All the best.
Again, all of this is subject to negotiation, right? But again, common sense, commercially, this is what one would expect in the current market.
Next question is from Naveed Ahmed with SACO. Please go ahead.
I think I've answered all I can on offshore. I'm not sure that there's anything else to answer on offshore. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, and thank you. My question is not on the offshore, it's on the maritime and logistics segment. Just a quick clarification. So you're enjoying better rates by opening new routes to China. I just wanted to understand, are the better rates based on some short-term, you know, variable which is resulting in you benefiting from the rates, or is it a structural thing which has always been the case in the past?
Honestly, it's just a mix of the two. It's a mix of how we're running the business. And today there are, I would say, disruptions in the supply chain, global supply chain, and we are taking advantage of that. And obviously, it's a new service for us that did not exist before. So some of that, again, if you compare it to last year, clearly there's additional revenue, additional bottom line. But there are some opportunities or dislocations in the market that we were able to capitalize on.
And going, just a quick follow-up, and going forward, is there a possibility that you further increase your presence in China to benefit from this higher rates?
What's that?
I'm asking, going forward, is there a possibility that you increase your contribution from China to benefit further from these higher rates?
That's the goal. Again, I mean, this is our first foray. I mean, if you look at, we also announced yesterday that we've expanded to North Africa and we have a new service to Libya, which, you know, offers, you know, great potential and good margins. So we are looking at opportunities where we can grow profitably. And so in the long run, we may, you know, again, our target is profitable growth, but we will have to make some sacrifices in the beginning and make some investments to be able to achieve that long-term vision. But again, that's sort of the ultimate goal.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. And that concludes our Q&A session for today. I'd like to turn the call over back to Bobby Sarkar. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. That's all the questions we have for today. I want to thank Akram and Sammy for taking the time to go over the results and answer questions. Thanks, everyone, and we'll pick this up next quarter.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
And that concludes today's call. Thank you so much. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect. Have a nice day ahead.